What's up, everyone? I am the Nigerian Nightmare, Kamaru Usman.
Henry Cejudo, a.k.a. Triple C.
And we are back with another episode of Pound for Pound.
A Shot of Lime production.
Henry, today we've got a special guest, someone that I call a friend and a teammate now. I mean, we're friends, but we're not like close yet. We're getting there.
Yeah, we're
you know,
working
we're working our way there. I mean, UFC bantamweight contender. I think a dark horse in that division. My guy, Mr. Sandman, Corey Sanhagen. My guy, Corey, how are you? How are you doing, man?
Yeah, I'm doing good. I just kind of spent the weekend packing and doing all that stuff because I leave tomorrow. So, yeah, just wrapping all that up and heading out tomorrow.
Corey, big fight coming up against Umar Nurmagomedov in Abu Dhabi, August 3rd, I believe. Corey, this is a fight that's kind of been put on our radars for a long, long time. Should have happened. And then a couple of things, you know, we'll let you elaborate on a couple of things that were happening behind the scenes because no one really knows except for you and Umar Nurmagomedov. There's obviously there were a lot of talks, everyone saying, Umar is one of the most feared guys in the division and nobody wants that fight, which, I mean, let's be honest, we do kind of know a lot of guys were ducking that fight. A lot of guys didn't want to take that fight, but I know one guy that did. One guy said, yes, I'll take the fight. I'm not scared of anybody. And it is you, Mr. Sanhagen. So Corey, I mean, let us know what's been happening because we haven't seen you fight for over a year now and we've been feeling like this fight should have happened, but what's been going on?
Yeah, I mean, it kind of sucked sitting on the sidelines for so long, but I spent the time going to a lot of UFC shows and then obviously like practicing what I could while the tricep was healing itself. And then about like 3-4 months, I was able to use it fully, but it was still like real weak and all of that, so I kind of had to deal with that. I don't recall if they asked me to fight in March against Umar. Maybe they did, but by that time, the tricep still wasn't all the way good, so I couldn't fight, and I believe that that's when his last fight was. So I told them that I wanted to fight around like May, June time. That would have been real good for me with the tricep. But yeah, here we are doing it in August. And yeah, I'm happy about it, man. Like I know that kind of a narrative around it is that, you know, he's down in the rankings, blah, 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 all of that stuff. But I mean, you guys know when we all got into the UFC, there wasn't any rankings, so that really didn't matter too much. Umar's on like a 5-fight win streak, comes from a real good team. He's undefeated. He's real well rounded. So I'm real excited to fight him. And yeah, I don't really care too much about the rankings and what it means and blah, blah, blah. I just know that it's a number one contender fight, and that's what I asked for.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head. Because people do, on the surface, casuals, they go, oh, he's only ranked, what, 13th or 12th? I don't know what he's ranked. He's ranked lower down there. And Corey Sanhagen is ranked much, much higher. Why is this fight happening? Where they don't really realize is, you know, we all know that Umar Nurmagomedov possesses the skills to be close to the top of that division. He wants to make a claim for himself that he is the best in the division. And yourself, you fought the who's who of the division, and you're still at the top of that division, and you want to stake that claim that you're next in line for that title shot. So, yes, you know, people might see that and go, you know, they're far off in rankings, but we all know there was a lot of people in those rankings in between you guys that were saying, nah, we don't want to fight him. Nah, we don't want to fight him. But you were the guy that says, yes, I will take on that challenge, and I will fight him. Yeah, you said it's the number one contender fight. What do you see in Umar Nurmagomedov's game that makes you feel that, hey, you know what? Yes, he is a tough, undefeated prospect, but this is somebody that I can take out.
Yeah, I mean, he is real tough, and he is a real good prospect, you know, but his biggest attribute is that he's really well-rounded. Like, he can strike real good, and he can grapple real good. And that TKD style of fighting is actually a really good weapon. It's a really good style to use against people, like Wonder Boy, MVP. Both of those guys have really good, you know, TKD style of fighting, and it works super well for them. So it's a style that definitely works. Where Wonder Boy and MVP don't really have the skill set that Umar does is obviously in the grappling. So Umar has like a pain in the ass of a style to deal with, and then also just really good grappling. So I mean, I'm real excited about it, man. I kind of have my, like, fuck everything mentality on, so I don't really care how good Umar is or what the odds are or anything like that. I'm going to go in there, and I'm going to try to take Umar out, and I'm going to fight like the veteran that I am, and I'm going to go, and I'm going to leave Abu Dhabi with a win, and I'm going to get my title shot after this one. So I kind of don't really care what Umar's good at. I know how good I am, and I know that I've proven that a number of times. And the last one got a little messed up just because of the injury or whatever. But, you know, I'm super pumped to remind everyone again just how good I am, how great I am.
Yeah, you know, I was picking on you on that one, Corey. Right. when you took Rob Font down, it was a snooze fest. It's not a typical, you know, Sandman type fight, but I will say this. Stylistically looking at this fight, you're a crafty dude. You're dangerous. You're explosive. You find your angles to look for your jumping knees, you know, and you'll do it kind of periodically. You know, we go back, we watch that fight with Frankie Edgar and how you caught him. Setting traps is one of your areas. But at the same time, the way you even fought a guy like Rob Font, which is a smart game plan, and particularly if you're hurt, was it the smartest thing to do to get a title shot? I mean, regardless, you were out. You know, looking at a guy like Umar, what are you expecting him to do? You think will he use all of his MMA, or will he make you fight that B side?
I think he's gonna make me use all of my MMA. I think he's, he's gonna definitely try to wrestle me. His strike, you know, like this is his first 5-round fight too, so I'm real curious to see what type of pace he wants to set. I set a hell of a pace when I go and fight 5-round fights, so. You know, that's something that he's going to have to deal with big time. And I know that it's something that he's got to think about. But, you know, we're ready for everything because the guy can wrestle and the guy can strike. First 5-round fight, I don't know what type of pace he's going to want to fight at, but I know what type of pace I'm going to try to fight at, and that's what we're going to do.
Henry just mentioned with the fight like the Rob Font fight, it was one thing for me as a fan of the sport and obviously as a competitor as well. The one thing from you, Corey, was your striking, your movement, your angles is something that is very, very dynamic, and it's something that you utilize your career. And when we see that, and then we saw that in a fight with TJ Dillashaw, and it looked like Corey's one of the best strikers in the division. But the one thing that he's lacking is the wrestling. He's giving up takedowns, and he's not really wrestling back. And then it turned into where I saw you go to the lab, and then I saw you fight a guy like Rob Font, which I 100% believe you could have stood up and just tried to have a striking battle with him. But no, you came out and you showed something different, and you wrestled. Because it's not that you can't strike. It's not that you don't want to strike. You definitely do want to strike, but you showed something different. You showed that your wrestling improved to where you can take a guy down, you can hold him down for 5 rounds, and you can beat on the guy. And so that was something that I thought was very, very impressive on my part. And that's not me being biased. That's on my part, just that fight. Because you definitely can switch up the striking. So, Henry, yeah, it, for me, of course, it wasn't the most exciting. But I thought it was a great fight because it showed your depth, Corey. Which I think it just ties into you taking a fight like this with a guy like Umar Nurmagomedov. Because you show that, hey, I can wrestle as well if I need to wrestle. But I can also strike if I need to strike.
The tricep was torn, though. You know what I mean? Like, that's why he...
Oh, it was torn in that fight. Is that why you wrestled?
That's why he got wrestled the whole time, is because in round one, we had a scramble. I stood up. I threw two jabs with my right arm and then was like, oh, shit, that's not good. And I've never had that feeling in any of my fights where I actually had any injury that I could feel, of course, afterwards or whatever, but... that was how that one played out. And you know what? Because I work real hard at being well-rounded and being a full mixed martial artist and not just leaning into being an exciting striker, which is where I see a lot of people, what I see a lot of people do, and then they fall short of being a champion. I'm not trying to do that. And that's not where my career is leading. I'm not trying to be the most exciting striker and lean into that and put on these banger fights like that. I'm going to lean into being the best mixed martial artist that the world's ever seen, because my path is to be a champion. It's not to be the best striker in the world. It's to be champion. And that's what that was, man. And I tore my tricep in the first round and I had to pivot, and I was good enough to pivot. And that's impressive in its own. It was hella boring. About two rounds in, I was like, God damn, this is what it was, you know? Like, fuck. The first 10 minutes, I was like, damn, I look good. And then in the last 15, I was like, okay, that could have been a little bit rap. But that's what I had to do to win that fight. So that's what I had to do.
Yeah, I think overall, man, like when it comes to like the highest levels, whether it's wrestling or the sport of mixed martial arts, it all comes down to tactics. You know, tactically at the highest levels is who can make those either follow the game plan or make those technical adjustments. I'm gonna say this real quick because I cannot lie. Umar Nurmagomedov to me at 135 pounds, he is the scariest fight for anybody. You know, he could wrestle, he could fight. He hasn't gone through punishment. And yes, people are dodging him. You know, luckily we've been friends, so we never really, so I think he would always kind of reject that, you know, with knowing Khabib and, you know, us being close through that. I mean, are there areas that you feel like you could potentially expose? I mean, could the experience of you going out there fighting the fighters with the highest levels, do you think that's something that may nip them in the butt?
Yeah, everywhere, man. I like Umar is good everywhere. I believe that I'm better everywhere. I think that Umar's style is a pain in the ass, and people don't know how to, like you said, tactically approach that type of style. I feel like I've been striking for a real long time. I know how to approach that style, and I know what works against it and what it doesn't, especially when you incorporate the fact that he can grapple really well. I've had to bust my ass over the last few years, man, getting choked out by Aljamain Sterling. All I've been doing is busting my ass, trying to get better and better and better at wrestling. So it's not where it's like, oh, okay, like I'm fighting a wrestler. Let me like crack out 12 weeks of trying to be a wrestler so I can go toe to toe with him. Like, it's been years and years in the making. I don't think since that Aljamain fight, anyone's seen me on my back for maybe longer than 5 or 10 seconds. So no, everywhere I plan on beating Umar standing and beating him grappling.
Yeah, the only reason why I say that too, Corey, is because it's almost like this. Like, yeah, you can get taken down. It's not jiu-jitsu. The basis of MMA is getting the fuck up. And that's one thing that I could go back and think of a guy like Jose Aldo, something that he did very, very well. Even though he was a black belt, he was always, at least in the beginning of his career, he always had the ability to get up, tear your foundation out, bring the hands in, and then eventually he stopped kicking. But what I do take a page from a guy that's a high level, or not, maybe just a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu black belt, is he was able to get to his feet. So I think a lot of times people tend to confuse getting good on bottom is just, oh, being a better submission specialist. With sweat, with heat, people are able to slip out. Or even on top. On top, I'm not looking for submission. I'm looking to hurt somebody. The submission will come. I do believe that if you do end up on bottom, like the biggest questions that I have in that fight with you and him is, could Corey get up?
Did he ask you to ask me that? No, I'm just playing.
No, this is triple C analyst. This is me being real with you, Corey. Because Corey, you fight a guy like you that's very creative, very crafty on his feet. I'm taking you down. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's gonna be pretty obvious, and particularly with your range. I know, and I haven't, but I'm sure he wouldn't want to hear this.
Yeah. I'm real hard to hold down. I'll say that. I'm really, really hard to hold down. I don't think you can name a fight where I've been down on my back for longer than 5 seconds, except for the Sterling fight.
Yeah.
What's up, guys? We're taking a quick break from Corey to give you a shout out to our partners. That's right, Underdog Fantasy Sports, the easiest place to place fantasy sports.
Underdog's pick'em game is as simple as choosing higher or lower on a variety of fighter stats like takedowns, fight time, and significant strikes. Here are our picks for UFC 304 Edwards versus Muhammad in Manchester this Saturday night. As always, all new users to Underdog will receive up to $250 in bonus cash and a pick'em special by using the code P4P, that is pound for pound.
Underdog is available in 30-plus states, including California, Arizona, Texas, and Florida. Support the show and click the link below to get started. Thank you to Underdog Fantasy for supporting the show.
All right, Henry, now let's get back into the interview with my man, the Sandman. Okay, so Corey, you know, we're talking this, your fight coming up August 3rd in Abu Dhabi against Umar Nurmagomedov. Two of you are basically, this is a title eliminator right here. I think the next guy gets a the winner gets the next title shot in that division against Sean O'Malley. But before that, I want to switch gears and come back a little bit. Corey, you're 32 right now, correct?
Yep.
I believe I'm right. 32. You're 32 years old. You know, you're from Colorado. And you look like, let me just be honest, Corey, you look like an IT guy. You know, at what point, and you're college educated, you're a smart young man, you know, you're a good looking young man, pause, you know, at what point did you just say, you know what, I want to be a fighter?
Well, I grew up and I always really wanted to be tough, just because I grew up kind of like small. I was really short growing up. Like, I played basketball, so I didn't like getting picked last, and I didn't like,
You who? You do your thing?
Oh, Kamara, I'll kill you in basketball, dude.
What?
So I grew up doing all that, and then just, you know, just being the smaller kid, and I always really wanted to be tough, and I always wanted to win fights. And so when I was about done with basketball, I had boxed a little bit as a kid, again, just kind of trying to, you know, be able to beat the other kids up, not with intentions of actually doing it as a sport or anything like that. But when I was about 17, that's when I started really, really getting into MMA and just watching GSP and Aldo and the WEC and all of that stuff. So at about 17, I just kind of got really sick of playing basketball, and I just decided that I was going to sign up at a gym. And I got real lucky. I grew up right next to Nate Marquardt's gym. So signed up at Nate Marquardt's gym. And then started going over to Grudge and Easton's and training at those guys' gyms. And, just been a part of those gyms as they've kind of evolved throughout the years or whatever. But I swear, dude, I was cooler looking, I promise you, when I was like 22, 23. Those were like my cool years. But when you're a white ginger dude, once you hit about 26, 27, you start looking like a giant dork, whether you like it or not. And that's just, no one beats the tale of time or whatever the saying is.
Yeah, I see. I remember, I'll be honest, I remember the first time that I saw you fight. And I believe it might have been maybe your third fight or fourth fight in the UFC. It might have been your third fight in the UFC. You fought in Florida. You fought in Hollywood, Florida, and I remember being in the arena, and you fought, did you fight Alcantara or no?
I fought John Lineker in Fort Lauderdale.
You fought Lineker in Fort Lauderdale, but didn't you fight, that's his name, right? Yuri Alcantara, did you fight him?
Yeah, I fought Yuri.
Yes, that's when your arm was... Was that before Lineker or after Lineker?
Yuri was my second fight, which is actually kind of crazy to think about, because at the time, the dude had over 20 UFC fights.
Exactly. So I did see you. So I actually saw you on television. I saw you fight Yuri. And when you fought Yuri, I saw he gets you in an arm bar, I believe, and dang near ripped your arm off. I watched your arm bend left, right, make an L shape, U shape, make all these shapes. But I saw you not tap, not even think of, it wasn't in a position, because now we see UFC fighters, they get taken down or they get put in a choke or submission, and they're already kind of ready. They're waiting to see, does it hurt that bad? Does it not hurt that bad? So I can tap and get out of the fight. But I didn't even see that from you. I just saw you continue to twist and turn, even though your arm was almost ripped off, and say, I am not getting submitted here. I'm going to get out of this hold. And I'm going to beat the dog crap out of this guy. And I saw you reverse that. It was a deep, deep one. I saw you reverse it, get on top, and you started throwing the hand. I'm like, oh, that whole arm is ripped off. It's ligament damage, everything. But you were able to pull your arm out, and you were able to go to work on him. So that was the first time I saw you actually on television, and I went, who is this kid? Who is this little tough-ass white kid, you know? And so that was the first time I saw you on television. But then I actually saw you in Florida fight, and I remember, and I forgot about that, your fight with Yuri, and I saw you in Florida, and I was like, who is this translucent, skinny-ass kid up here that's moving like a gangster, picking up the pace, and fighting like he's a seasoned veteran? And that's when I remember I saw you and I went, this kid's going to be a problem. This kid's going to be a real savage in that division. And before you know it, you're fighting Aljamain for basically a title eliminator and to where you are now at the top of the division. Just kind of talk about that progression of how, you know, you come into UFC and you look, to me, you look like a seasoned vet already. Was this just something that you were training since you got into MMA, or was it just your mindset in how I wanted my career to be, and that's how I approach each and every fight?
I kind of thought that when I got to the UFC, I was going to do pretty well, not because of the people that I was going to fight, but because, I mean, I started at high altitude and then trained at Grudge for a long time and then Easton's, and they were like, it was just a giant gym of really good notarized names, like really, really good guys. So I feel like I just got really lucky with being able to have really tough competition, have really good coaching. I think that I had a lot of people that believed in me. And when you're younger and just coming in, I think that that was really helpful for me too. So, I would kind of attribute, honestly, a lot of that to the people that were around me and just the training partners that I was able to have. TJ was my training partner for years and years. And so I kind of had an idea of the way that I would stack up against some of the other guys. So,
I think for me, Corey, it's like, how good are you when you fall? And I feel like when you did fight, which was a great fight, by the way, with you and Peter Yan, he was able to kind of sneak off on that fifth. How much have you learned from that fight with being in there with a former champ like Peter? And how much has your concept even changed for mixed martial arts after that?
Oh, loss? For sure. Yeah. I mean, Yan was one that I learned a lot in. I wish that I would have had a lot more time to prepare for Yan, but Yan was the fight where the first time where I got rocked, like actually good, not just hit, but like hit. And like now my legs aren't listening to me anymore. So I remember in that fight, I got dropped late in the third round. And then for the entire fourth round, just being really confused as to why my body wasn't doing what I was trying to get it to do. And then I remember getting my ass whooped in that fourth round and then kind of being like, fuck, man, like. In between round four and five, I remember taking a really deep breath and then feeling myself come back to myself. And I was like, oh, okay, I'm not rocked anymore here. I can fight the fifth. But I knew by that time I had taken on a lot of damage. So I wish that I would have fought that fifth round much, much differently. Looking back, just being like, I don't. If I take too much more damage, I feel like I'm going to get rocked again and then not be able to finish the round or whatever. So looking back, that definitely taught me a lot, because early against Song Yadong, I got clipped real good and was a little bit rocked in that one. But I remember thinking to myself, like, hey, man, you've been here before. You'll recover. Like, don't fucking lose this fight off of the same bullshit that you already lost one off of. So, I would kind of honestly say that I think that I won that Song fight because Yan did what he did in that one. And I learn a ton every single fight, man. I'm not like, I have to learn from experience is kind of my problem. I don't really like listening to a lot of people, but when I do learn from experience, usually it sticks. And that's kind of just the way that I am.
Yeah. And I think now, bro, the fact that I don't know, maybe there's a birdie out there. Are you training with Trevor Whitman?
Yeah, me and Trevor's my striking coach now. So that's been great. God, I've learned so much just from Trevor. And then also just like, I wasn't really sure, honestly, how good of a coach Trevor was going to be. And then he's just impressed me so much and blew me out of the water with just how much he knows and then just how experienced he is, how in tune with his athletes he is. I mean, Kamaru can definitely speak to it too, man. Like, he's phenomenal, dude. Way above any expectation that I was expecting.
What went into that decision? Was it just convenience for you? I mean, of course you have phenomenal coaches out there, you know, that you work with. I mean, Carrington Banks, a guy that I, you know, have known for years and years and love, and Carrington is like my brother, you know. You train with him a lot, and just your team, I mean your circle, you've been training, it's gotten you to this point. But what went into that decision to say, you know what, I have to pick, I'm gonna pick someone and I'm gonna go with Trevor Whitman? Because I think personally it's a match made in heaven, because now getting to know you more and more and kind of how weird you are when it comes to when it comes to training, because and I say that because I'm similar when I'm getting ready for competition, I'm so dialed in to where it's I'm and you can ask Trevor about this. When I come in, I'm about that work. I'm in there. I warm up. I get my whole process going, and then Trevor just fits right in, and we're able to elevate. You know what made that decision for you? Like, you know what? I'm gonna try Trevor Whitman.
I've known Trevor for a lot of years. I knew him since I started kind of over at Grudge when I was about 17, 18. So I actually used to train with Trevor, like hit mitts with him. I used to go over to Dwayne's gym a lot. So I kind of used to bounce around a little bit, but I thought it was just, he's just a really good coach, man. And it was just something that I couldn't really pass up. And I kind of spent a lot of time reflecting while this tricep was healing and kind of going to the fights and watching the fights and watching how they were playing out and just really sitting and thinking to myself, like, man, I got 5-6 more years left in me. I'm halfway through my UFC career. Like, I really want to, like, juice this thing out as much as I can. And that kind of just meant working with Trevor. So, but also Carrington Banks, like you spoke of, I'll give him a ton of credit too. I consider him my head coach. That's like one of my closest friends right now. He really knows me very, very well. So he knows how to work. He just knows how to work with me. He knows how to work with people. Everybody loves him. We're kind of the opposite in that way. But Banks is great too. So yeah, man, I got real good coaches, and I have for a really long time. But Trevor and Banks, and then Ryan Hall, of course, now are just, you know, three of the best guys in the world, I think. And I feel good going into the back half of my career.
Yeah, I think, I think that's good. I think the only way of evolution really is making change. Like, if your coach isn't a learning or making adjustments too, like, it's always time to move on. So I think there's a big misconception of loyalty, you know, of, oh, I've been with them since blah, blah, blah. Not really, man. You have to search and seek and fight the best and continue to keep being challenged through knowledge. So I do believe, I've never been coached by Trevor, but, you know, hearing both of you guys speak about him and obviously even somebody like Gaethje, you know, I have him high up there. You know, maybe one of these days they can, you know, he can teach me a couple of things. But looking at the landscape right now, Corey, obviously we do have that fight coming up with Merab Dvalishvili and a guy like Sean O'Malley. Like, how do you break that fight down and who wins?
Yeah, that's going to be a tricky one, man. I think Merab doesn't do the best job of closing that gap, especially early in the rounds and then early in the fight. I think that's really not good because Sean O'Malley is one of the best guys at keeping space. And then also, if you want to step into his space, he's real good at, like, making you pay for that. He's, like, one of the best at that. And that's going to be a really, really huge challenge for Merab. I'm going to be rooting for O'Malley because I know that's the fight that people want to see is me and O'Malley fight. So I'm going to be rooting for the dude. But I think just as it plays out, it's really, really hard to tell. I know that when you get a guy wrestling you like that, like the way that Merab can wrestle you, a fast twitch guy like O'Malley who likes to be light on his feet and like crack real hard. Once you get a little bit tired, sometimes moving your feet and cracking real hard isn't too much of an option. Wrestled like that, so you know, like Merab is Merab has his handful. I think O'Malley has his handful, but I do think that because these things start standing in the beginning of each round, Merab closing that gap, it's not going to be something he can do in 30 seconds or 5 seconds. He's going to have to work his way there, even if he does get there. And I think that I probably would put my money on O'Malley because I'm a little biased. And because I do think that he's going to win.
I like that whole breakdown because I think that's exactly how me and Henry have talked about this before. O'Malley is so great at controlling that distance. And we saw it in the Chito Vera fight. Once you step in there, it could be a knee, it could be this, it could be a strike. And kind of a Corey-esque. I mean, I think that's you hit the nail on the head. That's a fun fight that I think the world would love to watch. I'd like to see it. And not just for my selfish reasons. I think the fans would really, really enjoy that. But Corey, I know you got this fight coming up August 3rd in Abu Dhabi, which rightfully so that this is the headliner because, you know, you've got a guy like Umar who is kind of like the second coming of the Khabib, you know, Khabib wave and Islam wave. So You know, I think this is a big enough fight to where this should be headlining. I mean, you're at the top of the division. You've been there for a long, quite some time now. So I think this is it's rightfully so. But I had to ask you this. I hate it as a fighter in your shoes. I hate when people kind of ask me this. But for the people listening and the people who want to hear it from you, who love watching you and seeing you, Corey, how do you see this fight going? And how potentially do you see this fight ending?
I think I'm going to finish him late in the fight. I think he's going to get tired and he's going to give me his neck, or he's going to get tired and he's going to just not be able to move his feet anymore, and I'm going to take him out. And that's my exciting answer. But I don't, my boring answer is boring, but that's my exciting answer. I think I'm going to take him out later in the fight.
All right, Corey. But my man, we know you got to get going. We know you got a lot of things on your plate because, like we mentioned, you're about to take off to Abu Dhabi, but we appreciate you. We'll be watching the fight big time because this is a big, big fight with the big implications. For Henry, I don't know about you, Henry. You know, is there anything else that you want to ask Mr. Corey?
No, I think that's it. I think this is his time if he wants to get closer to the title. I mean, he's in murderer's row, bro. 135-pound weight division. I don't think, you know, as cool as all the other weight classes are, I just don't think pound for pound there's better talent in our division. And, you know, it's competitive. I think anybody in the top five at any given day can become champs, dude. So I'm not as I'll be honest with you, Corey. If you beat a guy like Umar, be like, damn, that's it. I mean, that's to me, that's the guy that is, you know, that's just the guy, man, stylistically, dude. You get through that, you get through him, I think you get through anybody.
I'll make you proud, Henry. I'll make you proud, bro.
And speaking about that, I'm gonna ask you one more real quick before you go. What do you think, or who do you think is the world's worst stylistic matchup for a guy like Sean O'Malley?
For a guy like Sean? Me. I don't know. Me, I think that a Merab that can close the distance is a tough-ass fight for a guy like that too, though. But I don't know if Merab is going to be able to do that.
Okay. All right, my man. There you have it, guys. August 3rd in Abu Dhabi. My man Corey Sandman Sanhagen, which he took the name from my coach, jiu-jitsu coach, George Santiago, the Sandman anyway. But Corey, you're going to be fighting Umar Nurmagomedov. This is a big fight with title implications. And we're excited. We can't wait to watch it. Corey, as always, thank you for your time, my man. I'm going to be watching proudly at home and watch this go down.
Cool.
All right, my man.
All right. Peace, guys. Thanks for having me on.